there, everybody. Welcome to Caffeination 159. This is the Chaos Edition. It's a little bit shorter than our standard edition here. That's because we already recorded one show tonight. We had a great time recording over at Ustream.tv for the now weekly Caffeination Tech Talk Live. We had a great... Whoa. Wow, that was a little unexpected there. Jazzler Show misbehaving as usual. But yeah, we had a great little time over there. We had good comments this time. We had a voicemail to play back. So if you're interested in open source alternatives to commonly used applications such as Microsoft Office, Photoshop, or Microsoft Outlook, you know, the smaller part of it, we even talk a little bit about some of the open source... some of the open source operating systems that are out there, and my take on some of the other operating systems. It's getting to be a good little community over there, so hopefully we'll continue that. Hopefully everything will work out all right. Well, first of all, like we said, this is the Chaos Edition, because that is all there is in my house right now. Chaos reigns supreme. So between the time I recorded the live show, as soon as I got finished it, and as soon as I started putting together the audio, and fixing a couple of my own little mistakes on the recorded audio, which is available at Caffeine. Nation.com, as this show is, www.caffeination.com, caffeination.com. As soon as I finished setting that up and everything, the boys started crying. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a preface here. If you remember back about 3 weeks ago, I went on vacation. Ever since the first night of vacation, he's been getting up in the middle of the night, sometimes multiple times. He comes into our bed, he sleeps in our bed the latter half of the night, and neither of us get very restful sleep. So it's been going on for a while, it's starting to wear on the nerves and everything, so we decided to take a stand a little bit earlier today. Well, he won, sort of. But we're coming back strong later on. It's all a new experience. And, you know, I'm pretty used to having a good basis for any information I'd be giving out. You know, I'm pretty good. I have a pretty good field of knowledge. I have a pretty good handle on most questions that people could ask me. But as soon as it comes around to child care, as soon as it comes around to figuring out what this tiny little person needs, I am completely and utterly stumped. As I'm pretty sure a lot of the other first timers were, and even some of the second and third and fourth timers, but still, it's one of those points where everybody's overtired right now, so we're trying to make the best of both worlds. We had about a half hour crying session upstairs. Right now he's kind of passed out peacefully asleep. Hopefully it'll stay continuing until the end of this show record, and when I put it up, and then I'll go upstairs and face the music or the crying, as the case may be. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference call, your solution is quite simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need for one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to even leave your office. You not only can end up saving time, but a lot of money as well. You can see for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. So just want to give you a little bit of information about this podcast. You are, of course, listening to the Caffeination Podcast. This is the high-octane world of tunes and tech, coffee, and all things caffeine. Basically, we like to take the two combined worlds of caffeinated foods and beverages and my love of technology and mix them into one loving brew. There's not always a lot of caffeinated bits at the end of this podcast. Being a coffee drinker is not a requisite, or prerequisite, rather, for listening to this podcast. So if you are a new listener, hi and welcome. If you do drink coffee, congratulations. You are one of the awake and aware people. If you don't drink coffee, congratulations. You are much more mellow and calm. Either that or you're a morning person, in which case you are my mortal enemy. I'm sworn to defeat you. Just thought I should let you know that. All right, now, just wanted to give you a little quick rundown how to find us and everything else like that. But first of all, Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other shows listed over at techpodcasts.com have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. So you can head on over to techpodcast.com and check them out. We are listed over at www.caffeination.com. That's where our show is lovingly nestled. You can contact me via email at caffeination@gmail.com. gmail.com. You can lay your dulcet tones down in a track and dial in 215-240-1319 and leave a comment for this show, or if you'd like to, you can leave a comment for the Caffeination Tech Talk Live, which are basically the same thing, but I really like the interactive nature of the whole thing over at Ustream. I have to say that is one of the best experiences in podcasting I have ever had tonight. It was just right on. I actually, even though I stuttered a little bit, even though I stumbled around and there was nothing written in front of me, it just kind of worked in a way that I was kind of happy about. So, all right, Skype ID is CAFFI-NATION or The Caffeination, one word, with Skype and Homing Pigeon. They can find their own way, trust me. All right, I'll give you a little rundown for today's show. We're going to talk a little bit about Crocs, coconuts, robots, and finally, time actually is going to stop on this show. Just wanted to let you know right up first, front and foremost, now, normally on the Caffeination Podcast, we have a little bit of a musical accompaniment. You are going to be hearing some of the wonderful tracks from Poddington Bear at poddingtonbear.com. There's some of the back tracks that we use for this show. Some of them, not all of them. But you are not going to be hearing a musical interlude on today's show. More along the lines of, I was too tired to look for too much today. This is the culmination, again, with chaos here. This is one of the culminations of a hell week here. Since I work at a university, and you know, students coming back about the week before and about a week after, when they actually physically arrive on campus, is literally hell. There is no other way to describe it. Getting everything situated, getting everything all set into order. And then, of course, I go and miss a show on Sunday because I accidentally worked my way into a fevered pitch, literally. I had 103.1 degree fever, Fahrenheit, that would translate to 39.5 degrees Celsius / centigrade. Unhealthy for someone of anywhere over, I think they said like 12. And not even healthy for anybody under that. But I usually try and take better care of myself, I swear, but it just everything caught up to me and worked one out of the 2 days this weekend. Probably could have served to work both if it wasn't for that pesky little, you know, fever thing going on, but I don't have no idea how many mistakes I actually made in setting up the machines until I actually went back in after the fever broke and everything else was all wonderful. So thank you for everybody for sending your get well wishes and not hopefully unsubscribing to the podcast after only missing one. And I know I'm going to get emails about this, just, you know, kind of messing with me, but hey, all right. We have a wonderful little bit of tech tidbits today, a little bit of caffeinated bits, and then you are on your merry little way. We've decided to take the cream that is the Caffeination podcast and cull only the best news stories right off the top. We wanted to give you the absolute best and lightest and fluffiest foam off the top of the cream of your cappuccino of life. I know, a little bit heavy. But all right, first and foremost, we'd like to stop time here at the Caffeination. Are you ready? Yes, time right there stopped. Actually, it stopped just a little bit ago. In case you were unaware, the AT&T, which has since the 1920s, had a service where you could dial, I think it was, the number was different for every city and state, but you could dial whatever number you wanted, whatever number was actually local to you, and here it at the time is now, bing, 10:02. And it would go on and on and on. It was just a never-ending system of this is the time, so everybody could set their watches, whatever, VCRs. So AT&T has since canceled this service. They say that there's a lack of demand in the digital age, the reason for time's extinction. They said this service has actually already stopped in most states, but unfortunately Nevada and California, you can actually call time up until September 1, 2007. So pretty much when this podcast comes out, you're not going to be able to have it anymore. They do have servers that do the same thing, pretty much probably based on the same idea all around. There's time.windows.com, which is what most Windows machines actually sync their time to, although that one doesn't work too well. I think they should actually have like a better system to do it, at least on the Windows machines. They should be able to use the IP address that's assigned to your machine, figure out where exactly you are using GeoIP data. I mean, hey, I can figure out where 95% of my listeners are, general area of the state and whatnot, general area of the globe, actually, but But Windows Time can't. So, I mean, they should be able to figure out the general area you are currently sitting in and say, you know what, we're going to set your time to that time zone, because that would be helpful. Why do I say this? Because one of the big mistakes I made last week when I was setting up the machines, everything was set to Pacific time. I happen to live in the Eastern time zone. That's GMT minus 5 for all of those around the world. I live in Philadelphia, work in Philadelphia, so all the machines had to be set to kind of Philadelphia time. So, when we went through our own little time synchronization process, everybody says, okay, so it was something like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was reading it like, you know, I think 8 or 9 or something like that, whatever the actual difference is. It was just one of those things where it wouldn't let you join to the domain, it wouldn't let you synchronize to our key servers so people could run applications. I mean, it was just a mess. So AT&T stops their service to bring it on back home. There's actually a fun little article with a lot of the more interesting historical notes from the LA Times, but it's actually going to allow AT&T, Ma Bell, whatever you want to call them, it's actually going to allow them to free up some 300,000 phone numbers in those area codes, because the first three digits, I think they were actually saying that the first 767 or POP on the telephone keypad, so you could dial POP corn and it would allow you to reset your watch or whatever else like that. It would be dialing time. So 767, any number after 767. So if it was, you know, area code 767, and then any four numbers would get you to the same service. So that 767-1111, 767-1112, I mean, and so on and so forth. So they're going to be able to free up a huge amount of numbers, which is cool. I mean, if that's your thing. But it's just one of those things where it's kind of never really remembered that the service was around, and it's going to be kind of funny to sit there and, you know, when I was your age, we were able to call a telephone service to get the time told to us, read off a reel-to-reel machine from a computer, and we were also able to send Western Union telegrams and the whole nine yards, and we're just going to seem ancient to the people of the future. Same way everybody's grandfather always seems just to be from a completely different time. I mean, my own grandfather was actually born in a time when there was 48 states and I think 8 planets or 7 planets. I don't even remember the statistics, but one time I was talking to my parents and I ran down the list of things that have changed since from the time he even went to school to the time that I did. And my dad was telling me he was actually born before there were 40 or before there were 50 states. So he there's a fun little picture of him riding a bike with Alaska the 49th in a 4th of July parade. So it's a kind of cool little thing there, but hey, yeah, I'm dating myself. Yes, I am 27, so yeah, a little bit of a young buck in the eyes of the world, but it's just kind of fun to look back and see how the world's changed, even in my short time here. All right, well, moving right along, we have a long overdue but a bit niche of a product. There's a Garmin is going to be introducing 2 bike-centric GPS units. Now, I know a couple people that, you know, do a little bit of off-road biking, and I know some people who are significantly into a bike as their primary means of travel. So this is definitely going to be a boon to people who don't know where the heck they're going. However, I'm pretty sure that anybody who uses a bike as their primary means of travel has a much more intimate knowledge of the landscape they're currently suffering to overtake than somebody who just might happen to drive down the road. And I'm also going to assure you of one thing that's not going to happen with the bike GPS, as it will happen with the traditional car GPS. A bicyclist is usually a little bit more aware of their surroundings, so I'm gonna just put this out there that they're probably not gonna be running into any swamps because the GPS told them they could. I think it's gonna be more of a tracking system for them to maybe see how many miles they logged, you know, do a little bit of a sound seeing tour. I don't know. It's just kind of cool. They're very small, they're very svelte, easily fit onto the handlebars and everything else like that. Like I said, I'm not really sure if this is a cyclist's dream or a little bit of a too much of a glitz and glamour thing. I know some people don't even have mirrors on their bike when they do a lot of road riding. So, you know, it's to each his own. So somebody might whip out a GPS if they're going on a long, drawn-out ride just to make sure they know exactly where they are. But hey, most of the root numbers are pretty self-explanatory right around now. Alrighty, still staying in the vein of travel, if you live in an area that has red light cameras, you know, those lovely pillars of commerce for your specific municipality, if you run a red light, the thing takes a picture of the back of your car, then you get a lovely little message in the mail. In Philadelphia, it's a a $300 fine. Yeah, it's pretty steep, and you can fight it if things go wrong, but it's kind of hard because they have a picture of you running the red light. The only way you can get out of it, I believe, is if there's extenuating circumstances. Like, I know somebody who ran a red light because there was a fire engine coming up behind them and there's no other way to go. So they went around the corner, technically blowing the light but allowing the fire truck to pass. Well, they were able to synchronize that picture with the fact that the fire truck was actually blowing the red light as well, and, you know, they were able to get out of the fine. Good call. But apparently over in the Netherlands, they must have a much more vindictive speeders, because now, first of all, they're able to camouflage their towers, and here's the list of specifications. These things cost roughly 80,000 to 100,000 euros. So we're talking $120,000 to $150,000 US. There's four cameras mounted in these things, so they can take up to two lanes in both directions and protected by toughened glass here, so bulletproof. The camera itself costs up to 50,000 pounds, so 75,000 US, I'm pretty sure. Infrared flashes are not seen by the motorists, so you're not going to see that telltale little flick in the back. These things are 13 feet tall, mounted on a thick steel base, which is driven directly into the ground, so it's basically crash proof. Changes to the rule, let's see, there's a fire resistant body, it's bomb resistant, and smoke and vibration detectors detect an attack. So apparently people are attacking these things to hopefully, I guess, destroy any evidence. So these smoke and vibration sensors detect an attack, and the nearest police station is alerted and all data downloaded back to the base. So that's pretty cool. Kind of crazy, actually, when you really think about it. But for everybody who thought that the Dutch were very very lenient and very relaxed about certain things, apparently they're very hardcore about catching you busting a red light. I have a good and bad ideas about this. Yes, it might reduce some of the crashes out there, but it's hard to get around the idea that it's anything more than a serious money-making ploy by the municipality, because they don't have to pay anybody to sit there, and after this thing has paid for itself in tickets, you know, it's just a deterrent to know that it's there. So who's to say they could just turn it off? But they have no incentive, because this thing's just going to keep racking up money for them anyway. But still, I know a couple of people have been caught in Philadelphia. I think we have five or six of them as it is, and most of them in the more affluent sections of the city, which again goes to sort of prove the whole money-making theme. Yes, two of those intersections are the most dangerous intersections in the country, or some of the most dangerous intersections, but still, if you take those two out, you still got four in more affluent sections of the city, when I know for a fact that there are much more, much higher rates of offense in other areas of the city as well. So you can't just be, you know, dropping it basically in the area where you think the people will pay for it. All right, now next up, again, we're going to talk a little bit more about transportation here, but we're going to talk about stealth coconuts. Yes, that's correct. You can hang these things have been developed by the MIT Media Lab. They are coconuts with kind of a loop sticking out of the end. They actually have a link from over at Gizmodo, so you can go over there and check them out. It's actually a noise... It's a noise violation tester. So basically, you hang these in a tree around an airport. These were specifically designed to surround the San Jose International Airport. And when they detect a jet coming in louder than it should, so basically lower or burning off fuel too late in the game, they use a built-in cell phone to call the air complaint hotline and leave one of four pre-recorded messages. Check out the clips after the jump. So you can get over there and actually hear the clips. I'm not sure if the clips are tongue-in-cheek at this point. They didn't seem to be very serious, but then again, I would hate to have the job of every morning you walk into the complaint hotline. I mean, this is for people who are literally too lazy to get annoyed. So if you think that it, I mean, I it up until I heard that it was just to be around, you know, this one specific airport, and it was to call the irritation hotline. Now, if they were just collecting data, that would be one thing. You know, you could hang them around an airport and say, okay, you know, let's just say 14% of the time planes are coming in, they're coming in too low, so this is something we need to change. No. These are strategically placed to irritate the heck out of the airport air traffic controllers. So, just one of those things where you look at it and go, all right, it's kind of fun that it's actually sitting as a coconut, but I wonder how prevalent coconuts are in the trees around San Jose. So, all right. Next thing, a little bit of a sustainability thing we have here going here. For those of you who are not in the know, glass, as it is, on your computer screen, in your windows, in your car, whatever else it is, glass is created from sand. And there's a place in Florida, Fort Lauderdale specifically, home of retirees from across the country, where they're actually taking the recycled glass set to be recycled, they're actually taking it, grinding it up into fine grains, mixing it with some regular sand, and adding it back to the beaches. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great idea, and like a lot of the shore points along the eastern coast of the U.S. have problems with beach erosion. I mean, the beaches steadily wash away from storm surge, from, you know, just a lack of vegetation on the beaches. Beaches were meant to have a certain amount of vegetation on them. I mean, it's at least, you know, some of the beaches that exist that I've seen. They're meant to have a certain amount of beach grass that holds the sand there. Once you remove the beach grass so that you can have the long expanses of lovely white sand, then the beach kind of disappears rather quickly during a storm. So they're going to be taking the glass that they recycle from around the city, crushing it up, and mixing it with the sand. Instead of going into the landfill, instead of polluting the rest of the world, they're going to just wash it out and put it right back on the beaches. So it's kind of a full circle thing, ashes to ashes, dust to dust kind of thing. So I thought I'd pass it along to people. That story's from over at Wired.com. Haven't checked in my latest magazine to see if that's listed there, if it's a Wired exclusive. Now, something completely different, completely off the radar here. I actually resisted every urge to replicate the headline that they have over here. It says, stunning pepper spray ring blinds with bling. I didn't really want to use that same one over there. So I said, you know, blinded by the ring. Yeah, I couldn't really find the right pun here. But basically, these are 24-karat gold rings. They're not even 24-karat gold. These are $30. They go from ring sizes up to 14. And an extra shot of pepper spray in the ring actually will cost you $8. So they're relatively, inexpensive for what they are, but it's actually able to shoot a stream of pepper spray out of the ring when properly activated up to 12 inches. So if you have an attacker, you punch him in the face, or you're sitting there covering your own face, you click the little button, or you do whatever you gotta do, and it shoots a shoots a mist into their eyes and blinds them. And you can also, they label something with office pranks here. Say if you'd like to add it to some of your food, you'll likely induce vomiting, coughing, choking, and sneezing. So it's so volatile that you can't even include it in food. Again, you know, pepper spray, it's 400 times stronger than your average jalapeno. I wonder how much stronger it is than a habanero, though, because that's my favorite poison right there. All right, moving right along. I told you it wasn't a lot of stuff here. We got one, two stories left in Tech Tidbits and three little guys from Caffeinated Bits, and I'll let you go on your way. All right, well, everybody out there has seen the latest craze in footwear. I haven't actually tried these things out, but Crocs, they're kind of the foamy-looking sandals. They look really goofy. They come in all kinds of strange colors. They're really popular with a lot of the healthcare workers that I've seen around here. I guess they're incredibly comfortable. And, of course, anything comfortable, anything popular has to have the medical opinion available on the news, and they've been coming out saying they're horrible for your feet, they don't provide arch support and everything else like that. I haven't really broke down and actually bought a pair just because they're $30 and I really don't want to spend $30 on something that, you know, might just not feel cool. But it says these things have been seen being worn by Jack Nicholson, Al Pacino, and any nurse in an ER. But it's a shoe company shoe company primarily, but they've decided to branch out. They're taking the material that the shoes are made out of, which is called Croslite, and they're actually starting to make clothing with it. And they say, note to fetishists, this is not a rubbery shirt. This is a lightweight, breathable resin, so it actually soaks up sweat and helps move it along. So it's kind of like wool that doesn't itch, but it's lightweight. So it's kind of interesting. It has a really shiny shirt there. This might be kind of popular among the raver set out there, but I think it's a neat idea in general, but I don't really know how far it's going to go. I guess if they take a kind of cross-section for the people who actually bought the Crocs to begin with and kind of gear it towards that style group, if there is such a thing, I think it might work. But then again, just the name alone, just the Croc name alone, if they can make the shirts as unique looking as the shoes, I mean, maybe not as unique looking, but you know, unique enough that they would be easily recognizable from afar as, oh hey, you're wearing a Croc shirt. So either that or the whole story is just a Croc, you know. All right, if you hear any clicking or whizzing in the background, it's the baby monitor is flickering periodically. Yes, I am literally on call during this show. We're trying to sleep in shifts almost around here. All right, last little story we got for the tech tidbits before we head on over to the caffeinated bits for you today is actually a fun little link from over at Gizmodo. Every once in a while, I find a new use for an R2-D2 around there, and this one I think pretty much takes the cake. Between this and the R2-D2 that's the projector, I love it. This is a R2-D2 is now a remote control wireless webcam. So it's being passed off as something commemorating the 30th anniversary of Star Wars, which is coming up. It's able to do 628 by 528 pixel resolution, which is kind of weird. Standard resolution for the webcams that are out there is actually, you know, like 640 by 480. So it's bigger on the one dimension, but smaller on the other. So it's more of a square picture anyway. So it's kind of interesting. It makes it very tempting, according to them. There's a lightsaber shaped remote you can use, or a web-enabled PC anywhere in the world. So I don't know if it actually has like a robotic thing that you can actually drive the thing around, because I mean that would be awesome. And if that's the case, I'm gonna actually cut a little R2-D2 shaped hole in my door in my office. The way my office is situated is, I work in the architecture program, so I actually work in the plot room itself, so where most of the magic happens, you know, most of the printing is done. So you have the outer office, then my office is on the inside. Nobody else has a key to my inner office, so what I'm going to do is cut a little R2-D2 shaped hole, and whenever I want to check on my student workers, I'll have the little guy drive out, you know, maybe put a little microphone attached to him, and a little speaker system, you know, hey, how's it going, guys? Oh, that's fine. Or we're having this kind of problem. So that'd be kind of fun, you know, control it from any web-enabled PC. It has potential. However, it's $349.95. You really had to throw the 95 cents in there? That's just crazy. $395 for a wireless webcam that doesn't even have like high def picture. I might pay that much for a... Well, I definitely wouldn't pay that much, but I might consider thinking about paying that much if it was a high def cam. But, you know, it's R2-D2. What are you going to say, you know? That about wraps up the tech tidbit section for here at the Caffeination, which, by the way, in case you were wondering, the Caffeination, you are listening to the Caffeination podcast. Please excuse my many screw-ups during this episode. Like I said, we're running on empty here. As one of my podcasting compatriots, Dave Gray from the Global Geek podcast, fabulous podcast, you should really head on over there and check that one out, by the way. I have to get him to do a promo so I can actually play it on the show, or I'll get him on the show to do a promo himself. Yes, shameless self-promotion is all where it's at, people. All right, like he said, this show is all about passion. So that right now we are running on passion and caffeine. There's nothing else. Doing a podcast, he said, rather, is all about passion. It's all about wanting to do it. You have to want to do it to be able to submit to the grueling schedule that is required by these sometimes. Every once in a while I falter, as a la last Sunday, but I think we're making up for it with the two shows right now, so hopefully that'll work out. All right, again, on to the caffeinated bits. Three short little things, then I'll send you along your way right before the 30-minute mark, hopefully. First up is I never considered a ball, though, before this. Now, I'm pretty much a standard kind of car. I need an SUV for driving to and from work. I am considered essential personnel, so in case it snows very badly, in case there's ice and stuff on the road, I got to get in because there's students on campus that need to use the labs. At least that's the line they put out there. So, I mean, if that's the way it is, all right, got to get to work, got to be able to get there safely, and I need something that I fit in. I'm a large guy. I'm, roughly 6'2", and, not svelte by any stretch of the imagination, but you need to be able to be comfortable, so I drive a small car-based SUV. I never really thought about a Volvo before. I actually drive a Chevy Equinox right now. It's a nice car, has a wonderful cargo space, another big thing for me. I like to be able to go to Home Depot and get whatever I need to and cart it home in my own vehicle. But let's see. Like I said, the Volvo's coming out with some pretty interesting innovations. Now, they have all kinds of different alerts that come up now. Now, one of the things that you're going to be able to get in the future, they actually have a collision warning with auto brakes. So it's going to beep the closer you get to the car in front of you. And then it's going to actually apply the brakes if you are approaching too fast or at a high rate of speed, and it looks like it's not going to be able to avoid it. I wonder how they're going to crash test this thing. Are they going to have to turn that off? Or they could crash test it with it on as well. I mean, I think that the possibilities are pretty much endless for that one. I think that would definitely be a interesting thing to see how they figure out to crash test it. But the one that I was actually really cool, that I was actually really impressed by, rather, is if you've been driving for a long time, you're like heading from Philly down to Florida, and that's like a 13 or 14-hour drive. Actually, sorry, that's like a 15 to 18 hour drive, rather. So if you're heading on any long trip and you've been driving quite a while, how would you like your car to tell you to take a break? Now, the way it does it is great. So in the middle of the speedometer, or the RPM, it actually has a little coffee cup that appears and it says driver alert, time for a break. Now, if I could set this to when the actual caffeine levels in my bloodstream dip below a certain point, that would be awesome. However, if it forces you to actually pull over to the side of the road, I'm going to be a little bit more irritated. It'd be kind of cool to see this kind of thing installed in like a semi, one of the larger trucks out there, see exactly what they could do with that, be able to monitor the guys a little bit more, but still. All right, next little thing we have up here is a fun little thing. The trend continues. People are trying to caffeinate everything under the sun. Now we have NRG caffeinated potato chips. They already have caffeinated oatmeal, caffeine-infused sunflower seed, caffeine mints, caffeine chocolates, caffeine on top of chocolates, yeah, pretty much everything you can imagine. So the bag comes in two sizes, 1.75 ounces and 3.5 ounces. And the amount of caffeine, it's not listed. And so you're going to have to head on over to energyfiend.com. They run a great site over there to actually check when he actually gets the information. If I find it out, I will let people know exactly how much stuff's in there. But you got your caffeinated chips now. You can eat it with your caffeinated oatmeal. Chips and oatmeal, kind of a weird combo, though. And then you can use your buzz water to make your wake-the-f-up coffee, your extra caffeinated coffee. And then you'll just be one vibrating mess all day. And, of course, you all wash it down with a Red Bull and with all the strange chemicals that are in that. All right, and the last little thing we have here is from over at ecogeek.com, and it says, I'm powered by sugar, why can't my gadgets be? It's basically an opinion piece and kind of a little bit of an expose. They show you some of the gadgets that are out there that are actually able to be powered by sugar. And they say, one of the strange things about the new fuel technology is the new fuel additive ethanol is kind of sugar-powered. They said there are certain things that are microbial fuel cells are pretty awesome, and they're actually using grains of sugar to feed whatever microbes are in there and actually create power. So it's an interesting technology that we're sure to see expand, and I'm always interested when they have these expanding markets. I mean, solar power is only going to get you so far because there's like a law of diminishing return with it. They haven't even got it to be 50% efficient yet. So 50% of the energy that's absorbed by the panel isn't even converted yet. it's still better than nothing. Hydropower, wonderful. But you're not going to carry like a mini little hydro thing down the street. You know what I mean? So this is more portable. They're talking about the jet fuel powered laptops. While that's not necessarily eco-friendly or anything, this is a step in the right direction. Powered by sugar. Kind of fun to think about. All right, well, that about wraps it up for the Caffeination Podcast. I'd like to thank you for sticking with us here on the through this show. This has been a kind of a crazy show. A little bit short, like I said, but this has been Caffeination 159, the Chaos Edition. You are listening, of course, to the Caffeination Podcast, located over at www.caffeination.com. If you'd like to leave us comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to throw our way, you can send that along to caffeination@gmail.com. Our phone number is 215-240-1319, available for direct to voicemail comment and abuse. Our Skype is caffeination, or the Caffeination, one word. And that's about it. We just like to thank everybody for listening, and stay caffeinated.